Hey, it's Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Andrew Hansen and I have the week off, so take a moment and enjoy some highlights from some of our past shows. Hey, welcome back to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Lauren Fox, Andrew Hansen, and we are joined by Bedford High basketball coach, boys basketball coach, Mark Elmendorf. Coach, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much for having me.
Hey, it's always great to talk basketball. We had Kevin Gibbs on last week talking about the girls, so figure we'll round things out with the boys. And you're coming into the season having lost a number of seniors. In fact, you look at the roster, and it's an entirely different set, or largely a different set of players, and you lost a bunch of them who made some really big contributions last year. What are the biggest holes that you're trying to fill after the graduations?
Well, you're right. We did lose some significant players, Harry Lagoulin, Zach Guerin, kids like that that played a lot of minutes. But as you know, our record last year was certainly not where we would want it to be or where we expected it to be. But the nice thing is that we're going to start five seniors. All of those five got minutes last year. So I do think we're an experienced team, but we'll see how the season goes. We do have our top scorer back in Justin O'Neill, so that certainly helps us, I think.
So, Coach, I'm trying to look over the roster here and predict the starting five along with Justin O'Neill. I imagine we can expect to see Tim Green out there, Connor Butts, Trey Ravenel, and who would be the fifth?
Jordan Dyer.
Excellent.
Who was one of our three captains as well. So, Justin is Justin. He's added some things to his game. He's certainly got a tremendous amount of confidence right now. He's evolved as a player, as a person, just as much as a player. He's just been tremendous. Connor is Connor. He's been great. Leadership has been awesome. He'll be our point guard. Jordan Dyer will stretch the floor a little bit, and he's a very good perimeter shooter. Timmy Green has some pretty good size, and, he's a pretty good long-range shooter as well. But as I've been saying to everybody all year, our X factor is Trey Ravenel. He's had a tremendous preseason. He's playing out of his mind right now. He had the best practice I've ever seen him have yesterday. And if he comes to play and does well, I think good things could happen.
Yeah, it's really exciting to hear about the X factor. I've really enjoyed watching his moves. He certainly has a lot of potential, and that being Trey. So give us an idea of what makes a standout practice for you. Was it effort? Was it performance? Was it intensity?
All three of the above. There was one point in practice where he was doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing, but he did it in such a way that it was all under control. He was poised. He had a thought, and he did it the way it was supposed to be done. And it was a really, really fun practice yesterday. He got me excited, to put it mildly.
Well, we're all excited for the beginning of the season coming up here this week. And as you talk about those individuals and their roles, tell us a little bit about how it's been going, through the summer, through the fall, as you try to get these guys to gel, because, a lot of them had significant minutes last year, but now they're all moving forward with bigger roles. So how's the process going in terms of getting everyone to gel?
Yeah, we had a great summer. We played in a summer league at Memorial High where we did very, very well. I think we came in second place, surrounding area schools that, we played two or three games a week. And then all fall, we played in a very competitive fall league team at Revere College, which has teams from Manchester to Chelmsford, Mass. I think there's 18 teams in the league, and we won that league. So I was real excited about that. We came out number one, and I think the kids won three games on the final day of the season, but it was great. The chemistry of the team has been really, really good. We had fall workouts in the morning before school 2 days a week where we had at least 15 to 20 kids every Monday and Wednesday morning from 6:30 to 7:30. So, yeah, I have no complaints about anything that's been going on since really the beginning of the summer.
It's really a lot of fun to hear, and always great to hear when you start to hear about kids putting in the extra work to get out there with their teammates. We're with Coach Mark Elmendorf, the head coach of the Bedford High boys basketball team. And coach, what do you hope the strengths of this year's team will be on the court?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I think the team right now is we don't have a true post player. Trey is our post player, but you know, he's going to play some on the perimeter. We got five kids who can really move without the ball well. They can. We got four kids who can really shoot from long range that are of the five starters. Four of them can have pretty good perimeter shooters. But right now, I think it's just their ability to play together. Defensively, I think we're going to be okay. We're going to play certainly mostly man-to-man, I think. But right now, kids are really kind of feeding off each other, and that's been fun to watch.
So you mentioned a lot of man-to-man defense. How about on offense? Are you expecting any changes in terms of your general strategy with the X's and O's?
Well, we are gonna spread the floor certainly more than we have in the past. You know, last year we had Harry, we had Zach that could play on the post. We don't have that kid, as I was saying. So we are going to play, you know, spread the floor a little bit more, work on trying to get to the rim through the drive, kind of kick it out, that kind of thing. But, that's the plan at least.
And then as the team starts to come together and you work on, you know, building those offensive sets, what are your overall goals for the team this season?
Well, you know, the first goal is obviously always going to make the playoffs, which, you know, I would assume that we would be in a position to do that. And then the next goal after that is to get to UNH. Anything can happen when your team gets to UNH, so we've been there before, and we desperately want to get back.
Well, we're taping this on Thursday, and your first game is tomorrow on the road at Nashua South. But we don't have any home games until January 7th. What's up with this schedule this season?
Good question. You know, I don't mind not having a home game until January 7th. That I don't really have a problem with. But what I'm struggling with is the preseason has been incredibly short. And I know the NHIA is looking at it, and they're trying to rectify the situation. But as a coach, you know, we got three mandatory days of tryouts, where we're fortunate in Bedford, who I think we had about 70 kids try out for the program.
Wow.
So, you know, we had to obviously make a lot of cuts between the three teams. And then, you know, we get right in after the 3 days tryouts to practice. We missed a day on Tuesday of this week because of the weather. And it's just really, really short before our first game. We have one scrimmage over the weekend against Bow, and it's just a really, really short preseason.
It's funny, when we were talking,
I don't know what they're going to do about it, but, you know, Division II teams open up the same day as us tomorrow, but they got an extra week of practice.
Right, and we were talking to Coach Gibbs. He mentioned the same thing, that Hanover, I think, had basically moved everything up a week. They got that extra week of practice, and then we got blasted by tryouts followed by weather.
Correct. And then the other thing that happened in Division I, at least for boys, there are six out of the 19 teams that changed their schedule and moved their first game to after Christmas. So, the two ADs from the schools get together and decide that they'll play it on another day. And, you know, it would be one thing if you could say that it's the same for everybody, then it's fine. But it's not the same for everybody. There are six out of the 18, 19 teams in Division I that don't have a regular season game until at least 3 or 4 weeks after they start the practice. That's, I don't know. That's what it is.
Yeah, I could see how that could complicate things. Fortunately or unfortunately, there's a lot of time between now and the playoffs. The hope would be that everything would sort of level off by then. I guess getting back to one quick thing, because you mentioned 70 players came out to try out. So you have 12 on the varsity roster. How deep are the JV and freshman rosters then?
Good question. I think the JV team is going to be very, very strong. Six or seven sophomores our sophomore class, very, very good. The freshman team will, I think the last 4 or 5 years, has had at least 12, 13 wins every year. They do a great job. So, you know, expectations are high. When I talk to other coaches throughout the state, they don't have that problem. I mean, I heard one coach up at Balding High had 10 kids try out for their freshman team.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's just a cyclical thing, and we're fortunate to work at a school where athletics is promoted in a great way. you know, Bedford's a great town. It's nice that we have all these kids that want to play sports.
It certainly helps, and I'm sure you had your fair share of conversations with people after tryouts were done. That's always a tough time, particularly when you have numbers like that.
Yes, it is. You know, there's a lot of kids that are down and upset about it, but as I tell kids, that's the best way to learn. You know, I it's part of life. I certainly got cut when I was in high school, and the kids that stay with it, try to get better, those are the kids that are going to be successful.
Yep. You learn a lot more from failures than you do from success, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time with us. You in retirement now have a busy day of Christmas shopping.
Yeah, I am headed out to the store now, but yeah, it's a fun time of year. I got a great family, and we'll all be together over Christmas, which doesn't happen very often, so I'm very fortunate.
Well, wonderful. We appreciate you taking the time with us, and can't wait to see you in the gym.
All right, thanks. We appreciate it, and we'll look forward to seeing you.
Thanks a lot, Coach. Take care.
All right, have a good day.
You too. That was Coach Mark Elmendorf, the head coach of the Bedford boys basketball team. Always a fun interview. I guess the one thing that I keep going back to, 70 kids for tryouts.
That's a lot.
Dude. You know, and the thing is, there are probably, and we haven't seen any rosters for freshman or JV, there are probably some really good kids that didn't make the cut. And the biggest message that I would say to any of those kids is don't stop playing. Like, have an honest conversation with the coach, whoever the coach is, whether it's Coach Harrington at the freshman level, Coach Elmendorf at the varsity level. Have an honest conversation. Do an honest assessment of your strengths and your weaknesses and put together a plan to try to come back stronger. Because I will tell you, having kind of been on the brink of success and failure for over years and years, I could have used a couple failures or being made aware of what could have been perceived as a failure as a way to improve.
Well, Michael Jordan didn't make the varsity as a sophomore in high school. He turned out all right.
Yeah, he turned out okay. It's, you know, the stories like that, that's a little bit different because, you know, it's not like people say he got cut. Well, he didn't get cut. They didn't say, hey, kid, you can't practice with the team. But then, you know, you look at some others. Lorenzo Cain got cut from the basketball team in Georgia. And look what he's doing. I think he turned out okay.
Yes, he did.
So, you know, my point with it is this town, for better or for worse, it's a competitive place. And we have a lot of kids who are in rec programs, and that's testament to the crew that runs the rec basketball program. They do a great job. Then you have travel programs on top of that that are also part of that umbrella. But there are a lot of kids who are really involved in sports and, you know, kids that you go to other towns and you say, all right, this kid might be a starter, but he didn't even make the team here.
Yeah, if you do the math, if all of these rosters have between 12 and 15 players, that's 36 to 38 players. That means over 30 players got cut.
Yep. And probably some pretty good ones too. And that's my point with it is it's a difficult thing. The other thing that I would say too is, you know, for the parents who are on the other side of it, as I'm a parent now, and, you know, you have to have the hard conversations with your kids too. You know, that, hey, sometimes this happens for a reason, and how do you improve and how do you get better from it? So, you know, it's good to hear that that's what Coach Elmendorf is bringing forward to the players who wind up getting cut. And also from that conversation with him, I looked at the roster and I said, there's some interesting pieces here. This could be a good year.
Yeah, it's fun to look forward to it. You know, I had a fun time chatting with him this fall about some of the progress that some of the players were making, the guys that had gotten minutes last year. And so one of the fun things for me is to watch these new players, these juniors who were not on varsity last year and see, you know, who's going to make an impact and how they're going to progress throughout the season.
Well, we did see some of these guys last year because we saw Cam Fillion from time to time. JT DeLacy was a fun one to see when he would come off the bench. Obviously, we saw a lot of Tim Green. Connor Butts was one who He's a solid point guard. Moves the ball well up the court. Very good passer. There. And you mentioned Trey Ravenel and his post moves. Like, we haven't even gotten into Justin O'Neal. They're just some fun pieces that he's got to be able to play with for this year's team.
Yeah, and it's the five other juniors that you did mention. Those are the ones who we did not see get varsity time last year. And I don't know how to pronounce Daniel's last name. Daniel Kaliza.
Kaliza. Yep.
Camden Roberts, Andrew Soden, Dylan Combani, and Matthew Ferrucci.
Yeah. So we'll see how it all shakes out. It should be fun. It's always fun to get there. So, last year we had high expectations for the boys, and they sort of got into a funk, I think, physically. And when you get into a physical funk, the mental sort of follows. That was the struggle for them. Now, this year, with this year's team, who knows? So everybody starts the season, no wins, no losses. And like Coach said, when you get to UNH, all bets are off. So
it's a clean slate.
Clean slate. So, all right. We will take a quick break, come right back for a final segment where we talk about a bunch of different things. We just don't know what those are yet. you're listening to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Hey, it's Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Andrew Hansen and I have the week off, so take a moment and enjoy some highlights from some of our past shows. Hey, welcome back to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Lauren Fox.
And Andrew Hansen.
And we are joined by Bedford High hockey coach Marty Myers. Coach, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Anytime. Well, last time we had you out, it was right before the state championship game. Turned out that was a good one. You guys won 7-0. And last year's team, obviously, you had some great senior leadership. Three big names, San Clemente, Sylvain, and Roberto, the elder Roberto, all seniors. If my math is right, those three accounted for 103 points. That's a lot to replace. And heading into this year, how do you do that?
You know, yeah, it is tough to place. But you know what? We just expect to keep things rolling and have different players step up into those key roles. It's a big ask. I mean, we had a great year last year offensively. This year we're a little bit slower to start, but we're starting to find the back of the net as the season goes on.
It's last year, of course, we got to a certain point during the season, and there was, I want to say it was like 2/3 of the way, there was a loss during the season, and I can't place to whom at this point. But we looked at it and said, sometimes it's good for a coach to have a loss partway through the season to kind of course correct. Because if you're winning all the time, regardless of, you try to focus on the little negative things that happen, if you're winning all the time, the players get the message that whatever we're doing must be working. And this year started off 4-2-1. So there, I'm sure, have been some good teaching moments for you as well.
No, absolutely. We try to win as many games as we can throughout the season. And you know what? When you lose a game, you take a step back and you see what didn't work and see what did work, and you make the appropriate adjustments, and you hope that you learn from the mistakes and don't repeat any of the mistakes. And again, just to continue to get better. It's a long season. We're still early into the season, and I can see that we're making progress with each and every game.
It's a lot of fun. We're here with Coach Marty Myers, the Bedford High boys hockey coach. And for you, we alluded to it earlier, coming off a D1 title, there is certainly a culture of winning in the program. How do you maintain those high expectations year after year?
You know what? It's a balance. It's a relationship, I say, between the coaching staff and the players. It's something that we want to do. We want to play the right way. Playing the right way is, you know, working hard. Working together, you know, and understanding, you know, each other's roles. And every year's a little bit different. It's not a rubber stamp. Every team is different, but we try to keep the culture the same. We want to be successful. We want to have fun, and we want the team to enjoy the experience.
Now, Coach, you have a big matchup tonight against Concord. They're 4-0, and of course you know this team well. You beat them in the semifinals last year en route to the state championship. What are the keys to victory tonight?
Yeah, no, it is going. It's going to be a very, hopefully, a very competitive game for us tonight. Concord's a well-coached, very talented team. Although they say that they're young, they, you know, they are very talented. I think the keys is to play 5-on-5. I think we're a very good team, and we match up to pretty much everyone in the state when we stay out of the box and we play 5-on-5. I think if in the defensive zone we stay disciplined in our own end, limit shots, and have fast breaks out of our zone, that certainly will help us. The more time we stay out of our end, the better opportunities we'll have. And speaking of opportunities, when we're in the offensive zone, lately we haven't had a ton of chances, but the chances that we have, we got to do a little bit better job of capitalizing and finishing on the chances that we get.
Talking to Bedford High hockey coach Marty Myers, you certainly had some good opportunities the other night against BG. I think if I read correctly, 26 shots among the team. And so to your point about finishing, it's critical. And with a young team, sometimes it can become contagious. For the casual fan, who should people keep an eye on this year?
You know what we have? We do have a very talented bunch. We have Owen Reber, junior this year. We have a senior, Cam Wozlak. He's a very strong, powerful forward. And on the defensive side of it, we have Captain Johnny Giroux, defenseman, and Captain Brian Greer, defenseman. And we have a player that's playing really well and helped us throughout the season and even in the Christmas tournament, a junior goalie, Shea Guimont.
It takes a lot of work for anybody on that team to be ready, be up to speed, not to mention it for you, in addition to your full-time job, coaching the hockey team is basically a full-time job too.
Yeah, you know what? It does. It takes a lot of time, but it, you know what? It's all good time. It's something I truly enjoy doing, spending time with the players and being on the ice with the kids. It's a very rewarding experience that I have.
It really is a lot of fun, and I know Hanson and I have talked about this on the show a number of times. As much as people want to cast blanket statements over the kids today being like blank, and in our day kids were like this, the more time you spend around them, the more you realize they're tackling a lot of things now in their teenage years that a lot of us have have a hard time handling as adults. So it really is a lot of fun to be around them, keeps you young. And for you, as the coach of the Bedford High hockey team, you're inheriting players from a bunch of different hockey programs. And it, I'm sure, can be challenging because each program has a different culture and each program may have a slightly different philosophy. How tough is it to put together a team when you have players who may have been taught different approaches to the game?
That's a great question. And the players have different backgrounds, playing experience, the families that they come from, but they all share, they truly all share the same thing as far as the love of the game. And again, we try to slowly blend them into our style of play, our philosophy of playing. And, we just try to stay consistent with it. We try to have them understand it. And I say not just understand it, until they start believing in it, that's when we transform our team from, a good team to a very good competitive team. So it's good that they have the backgrounds that they have, and it's good that they have different backgrounds. And it is, some years are more of a struggle than others, but in the long term, our goal is to get everyone to play and pull in the same direction. And we've had some success in the past, and I can see the transformation happening already this year.
And Coach, what are some of the core elements of your coaching style as you bring these various players together, whether it be philosophy or X's and O's?
You know what? It's with today's day and age, it's a couple of things. I think it's accountability with flexibility. The kids want to be successful, and I do believe that the kids want structure. And I think you also have to be understanding that they are young adults or becoming young adults, and that's where the flexibility has to come in. So you blend in the accountability where You know, you set your expectations and you hold them to expectations. But with all that said, you have to understand that these are young kids and they're still developing, and you got to put in your flexibility. So I think if you do a good job of balancing that at the end of the season, I think the team usually comes out where you want it to come out.
It's a lot of fun getting there, and I'm sure you guys will enjoy the ride tonight. Of course, a big game against Concord, and is that one? I'm looking at Hanson while I ask this question. That one's on the radio.
And on TV.
And on TV, and we're on TV doing basketball.
Yeah, how about that?
Okay, yeah, that's too much for my little brain to understand. Well, Coach, thank you for taking time out of your busy day. Good luck tonight and with the rest of the season, and we'll catch up soon.
Thank you, guys. Always appreciate it.
Wonderful. Thanks,
Coach. Take care.
Yep, bye-bye.
That was Coach Marty Myers, the head coach of the Bedford High boys hockey team. And it's fun. When you talk to people in the community who are involved in hockey, he commands a lot of respect from people. He's been around for a long time. Good influence, truly a hockey guy. And it really is exciting when you, it's a big deal to make a high school hockey team. And particularly
In New Hampshire,
but not so, I don't know, different communities have different struggles, where there are some towns where they've had to say, all right, we're pulling in two high schools together and making sort of a mishmash of a team. And sometimes it's population density, but in this town, it's a lot of interest. There are a lot of hockey guys, and it's a lot of fun. There's certainly a good talent pool, but these are kids that are really excited to play for Coach Myers in that program.
Yeah, and I loved his answer about his coaching style. You know, accountability, flexibility, also some structure, and navigating that balance. And he's obviously done a terrific job of it over the years.
So thank you to Coach again for joining us. Do you want to go to break or do we want to keep talking? All right. Hanson just nodded his head. We'll take a quick break. You come right back. You're listening to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Hey, it's Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Andrew Hanson and I have the week off, so take a moment and enjoy some highlights from some of our past shows. Hey, welcome back to Fox on Sports. Lauren Fox.
And Andrew Hanson.
And we are joined by Bedford High School girls hockey coach Glenn Fifield. Coach, welcome back.
Thank you, Lauren and Andrew.
Hey, it's great to have you here. We were talking off air. You had an early start this morning, practice 5 to 6 a.m. The rest of the world is sleeping, and you're prepping for a game against Concord tomorrow night.
Yes, it's going to be an exciting game as we head into the second half of our season.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to watch it the other night. So we are in, for those who don't know, year 3 of the Bedford High girls hockey program. How hard has it been for you to build a program basically from the bottom up?
We've had a really good, steadfast support from the Bedford community and the Friends of Bedford Hockey. We've had incredible support from them and even the boys hockey team. With that kind of support, it made it easy. I mean, it's hard starting from scratch. There was some bumps and bruises on my part, nothing from the girls, my part of just knowing things and setting up, moving from a club program to a high school program. But with the support of the community, it made a smooth transition, especially into year 2 and 3. Any hiccups were all on my part in year 1.
That's a true sign of a leader there. Owns the mistakes, even when they aren't his. For you, what are some more steps that you can take to ensure that you have more of a pipeline of players who aren't sort of new skaters the first time they show up at practice?
I think, we do a high school development program in the fall, or I run a program like that for girls that are interested. So if they find out about it early enough, and the girls have done a great job kind of recruiting and program from new girls that are interested from other programs. I think within the community, as people see that the girls' program's here to stay, I think those fourth, fifth, and sixth graders are really going to start going out for and joining in some of the, they don't have to join the full-fledged travel program, but some of the learn-to-play, learn-to-skate programs, some of the house rec type of programs and really get themselves there with the interest growing in Bedford for girls hockey.
Anything that you can do to get the word out obviously helps out, more people aware of it, of course, helps out too, and you have some good advocates in the community. Now, for you, and we're with Coach Glenn Fifield, the head coach of the Bedford High girls hockey team. You have some players who are originals who were completely green when you got them. Abby Mangiafico is one who has made an impact this year. She had a hat trick in the game that we did on Monday night. How do you get new players to gain experience and overcome the sort of fear of a learning curve?
We don't call it tryouts. Like right when we meet with the girls, we call it training camp. Just kind of getting them in there and getting a mindset, letting them know that, you know, you're training and preparing for what it is. And each experienced girl knows their role within the program. And they really, they know where they came from. They know those fears that they had to deal with and everything like that and everything that they had to navigate through. So with that, and within our team, they really take the girls and set up within a good community of understanding to make sure that they're welcome first and foremost. And the expectations are that we take the players at the level they're at, not the highest rated level player that they're at, with the expectation that that's what they're going to turn around to in a week.
So for you as the coach, getting players to stick with it, and I think you hit on some of these as far as the culture and the community that you create. When someone's new to skating at the game, how much is being a coach as far as technique goes, and how much is a coach as far as being a therapist?
Well, to give those girls, the new girls, confidence, we do have a skating a coach that comes in that's really dedicated to the new girls twice a week. So when we're running practices, this coach comes in twice a week, and he works with the girls. Like when we break away into like stations and separate areas of practice, and focuses really in on their skating, giving them the confidence to step up in on the drills. And then when they transition into our drills and start skating those drills, he's right there focusing on those girls that we've designated and really work with them and giving them the confidence and breakdown and saying, okay, tweak with this, look at this, work with that. So they have a coach that's dedicated twice a week just to working with them on there. The other practice, you know, they're just in there. They're working with them, and that's what they're jumping right into the drills, and we're putting them there. But with someone within the staff is working with them to give them the confidence so they have an understanding. And we go through stuff in chalk talk time so they have a little bit of an understanding of drills and what they are.
Coach, one thing I'm curious about, as you talk about the development and each week with the focus and practice, is if you sort of hit the pause button and look back at year one to year three, what would you say is the skill that your players have developed the most over that time period?
Definitely skating. As a program, we really, early on, we focus on that because I could have the best stick handlers in the world, but if they can't skate, they can't compete. So we really focus on skating, and a lot of the girls took it to a new level in this off season. They took skating lessons beyond that, what they're learning here, and really took the game personal and made that happen. So coming into the third year, we've really seen their skating abilities strengthen, so it allows us to really skate strong and compete. When we're at the Christmas tournament, we really notice, like, there's not many teams out there that skate. They work well as a team, and they can execute drills or execute plays, but as far as skating skill-wise, we can compete with the other teams. We just have to get better. I have to get better as a coach at getting them at set plays and execution of those plays.
Well, Coach, I had a chance to watch the tape of the broadcast that Lauren and Harry did on Monday, your team's win over Kingswood 7-4. And for the fans who missed it, you can go on to the YouTube page for BCTV and watch a replay of that game. And when I watched the replay, one thing that stood out to me was the girls skating. And I did notice the improvement from year one. But the other thing that jumped out to me was the passing ability. I thought a lot of your players connected on a lot of passes, put them right on the stick and, you know, hit their teammate in stride. Is that something you've seen as well?
Yeah, that's really something that we've transitioned this year with their ability, and we've gone into more gameplay and having those drills where it's not just skating drills, we're actually gameplay drills and the transition and breakouts and not attack. So they've actually, and they have more of a sense and an understanding of everything that's going on there. So it is something that we've carried. And it was refreshing to see within that game where they had time and space that they could actually execute it at a game speed.
Joined by Bedford High girls hockey coach Glenn Fifield. And coach, we talked about it a little bit. There are some players who have had a great amount of experience at the youth hockey other levels, I guess, club teams, whether they've played for house teams, you name it. And then there are some who are brand new. How do you incorporate those two sets of players?
Baptism by fire. within practice, like I mentioned, the younger girls, they're developed with it. But each player is held accountable to their own skill set. So as we go there, they're not, our entry-level players aren't held to the highest level of club players. And we ask our club players that are there to keep their game elevated so as force those other girls to really develop within that. Everybody knows that type of role, so you're really pushing yourself to excel. The challenge is probably more for the club player to really, the talent, you know, what they have to execute within a drill. So they're really forced, and the coaches step up and put pressure on them to really execute at a high level. And as they're within drills and small gameplay and those type of things, it helps those other girls really force themselves to execute better within a practice and get an understanding and understand that they are judged by their own individual skill sets and not by someone else within the team. So, and that's how we break it down and communicate with them.
It was interesting the other night to see, as an example, Lauren Thomas, who I described in the broadcast as a pass first point guard. Like that is what I would think of her in basketball. Great skater, very good puck handler, but was constantly looking for her teammates and trying to involve them in the game. And that level of unselfishness is, it can really go a long way as far as creating that team atmosphere.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she's incredible as a freshman, her attitude that she's come in with. And as a freshman in the locker room, and the way she speaks up and talks and promotes, and when she speaks about her teammates, she always finds something positive that she mentions within our talks about something that they're doing right or something that they did right on the ice. And she understands also that the strength of the team and moving forward, the more she can support her teammates and get them stronger, the better it is and the less of the burden on her shoulders.
It really showed the other night. I mean, she had, what, two goals, and she could have easily had five of them in that 7-4 win over Kingswood. So I was going to ask a little bit more about the culture and the girls having each other's backs, but I think we've touched on that now. And the other thing that I'm hearing is these pasta dinners that people host before the games.
Yeah, we do that to take a little pressure off the parents. We do it just once a week, typically for our weekend games. I know some teams do a lot, like for every game, and I'm like, we do so much going every day and night. We kind of do it on Friday nights before our weekend games, and it just really draws the girls to do well, and they get together and hang out and just become friends away from coaches and everything else, away from the structure of us.
It's a lot of fun to watch, and it's certainly fun. The girls have won their last two games. They go in, though, on Saturday night against a very tough Concord Crimson Tide team at Everett Arena up in Concord at 5:30 p.m. So good luck in that game tomorrow night, or tonight, I guess, if you're listening on Saturday.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for letting me talk to you guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, anytime. Thank you, Coach. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye. That was Bedford High girls hockey coach Glenn Fifield. To the best of my knowledge, I don't think he's a teacher at the school. I don't know what his full-time gig is. I think for anybody who is a casual fan of any of these sports, you have no idea how much time and dedication it requires of the coaches to get out and do this. The players are out there at 5 or 6 in the morning. So is he.
That's right. He's out there for those morning practices, and he talked about doing the chalk talk sometimes
last night,
right in the evenings.
Yeah.
So it's morning and night, sort of round the clock, sort of you know, getting in as much practice and preparation as possible.
It really does make a difference, though, for the girls to at least get that understanding of the game, have that time with each other. And then there's this other thing that they have that's also called school.
Right.
That is part of the equation. It's tough to find spare time and enough hours in the day to get it all done. So take a quick break. We'll come right back. You are listening to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Andrew Hansen and I have the week off, so take a moment and enjoy some highlights from some of our past shows. Welcome back to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. I'm Lauren Fox.
And I'm Andrew Hansen.
And we have a special guest who joined us last year, and it really seems like everybody is talking about unified basketball these days, so we figured we'd bring back the coach, Kathy Campbell Kelly. Coach, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you. Glad to be back.
It's fun to have you. And it's funny, like I see random posts from people on Facebook talking about it or hear the kids that I coach talking about it. And I even saw it on the BHS dog section. Somebody mentioned it. So it seems like it's all over the place. But for those who may have missed the interview on the show last year, how would you say that unified basketball is structured differently than varsity basketball?
Okay, well, it is a varsity and NHIA varsity sport. It's a co-ed sport, and there's a competitive and a non-competitive or a player development league in the state, and there are about 36 teams, and we are actually, there are 16 in the competitive league, and we're in the competitive part of it. And whether that means anything or not, but it happens that we have 8 students with special needs, which we call athletes, and we have 26 typical players, which we call our partners. And on the court at one time, there are 3 athletes and 2 partners, and only the athletes are allowed to score points. So our partners support them in getting them into position and inbounding the balls and that type of thing. So it's a pretty unique situation, and it's a pretty awesome concept. So,
and Coach, we understand that you are 2 games into the current season. What have some of the highlights been so far in the early going?
We lost 1 senior last year, 1 senior athlete. So we have 3 new athletes this year, which are it's very exciting to have. They're all very sweet and lovely children and our athletes, and they have some skill coming up. So it's great to have some new blood in the team, and we have 12 seniors. So it's a huge team. It's huge to sort of manipulate and coordinate, but we have a blast out there, whether it's practice or a game or just seeing each other in the hall. It's a pretty positive experience.
It's really a lot of fun. And so this year, and just to refresh, we're with Kathy Campbell Kelly, the unified basketball coach over at Bedford High School. I mentioned it earlier. I've heard way more people talking about the team in the past than in the past. I don't know if it's a selective perception or if you've sort of hit critical mass where it's now something that people are aware of, but how have you accomplished this? And how can we continue to sort of change people's attitudes toward the kids who are the athletes on the team?
Well, this is the 8th year that I've coached it here at Bedford High School. It's actually the 8th year that we've had it. And I think just the exposure of having people come to a game and experience how much fun it is and how much energy, positive energy, that's in that gym, whether it's a family member or a teacher or a student or a staff member, it's, you know, people come up to me afterwards and say, wow, that was like the coolest thing I've ever watched. And it's contagious. And people love positive stuff, and they share it with others. And we have more and more fans each time we have a game. And, it's a pretty special event. So
that is fun to hear about, and we'll talk a little bit more about the upcoming schedule. But we're curious about some of the details of this team and any surprises you've had this season in terms of success or adversity.
Well, we have all of our athletes are really improving on a practice-to-practice basis, just with their confidence and just being comfortable with their partners and just being able to be successful and get in there and be more aggressive. And Stevie Lucier, who is a returning player, has been our high scorer the last two games, and just to see the delight on his face when he scores a basket, it's just, or any of them when they score a basket, whether it's an athlete or a partner, there's always a roar when somebody scores a basket, and even the other team, when the other team scores, everybody, it's just a positive, very positive atmosphere. And our three new athletes are coming along also, and it's been great. The only adversity I'd say we'd have is that it's tough to get gym time, and with that many team members, it's hard to have a pretty we have successful practices, but it's hard to get if we could have more gym time, that would be even better. So sometimes, like last night, we had to split the gym with track. So that's a pretty creative practice you have to run. So
right, I think you're preaching to the choir. Both Andrew and I like to play basketball, and that's something in this town that is extremely hard to come by is just time on the gym, and particularly not just if you're talking about a unified basketball team, the high school, the boys and girls teams as well. And then for rec players playing in town, if you want to get some time to shoot in between, I'll give an example. My daughter, who's an eighth grader, is playing on a rec team over at the Memorial Gym, which I'm sure you've seen. For anybody who hasn't.
Right, I used to teach over there.
Oh, gym. It is the tiny, like, and you know, you have 10 eighth grade girls, seventh and eighth grade girls running around in that thing. Like, it's, you can't really practice spreading the floor at all.
Yeah,
so.
It's challenging. It is challenging. We have so many great, lucky we have so many great programs, but again, space is an issue for all teams. So
it's that really is a challenge. It's not just you guys; it's everybody. We're with Kathy Campbell Kelly, the unified basketball coach over at Bedford High School, and from your perspective, how has the culture of the program developed in the 8 years that you've been involved?
I'm sorry, I missed that last question. We had an intercom interruption here. I apologize.
You got that's probably more important during a school day, is knowing what's being said on the intercom. In the 8 years you've been the coach, how has the program's culture developed in that time?
Well, again, it's just exposure. With us, I teach a unified wellness class, and I know at the middle school they have unified program classes where typical students interact and engage with our special needs students, and it's just it's a great program, and it basically infuses and integrates our typical kids. Well, unified means being together, and that's what it's all about is being a big happy community, and it's been really developing, because we also have added unified art and unified music. So it just it brings all of our students together in a very positive way.
And as we have caught you here mid-season, do you have any goals for the rest of the season, either for the team as a whole or for any of the individual athletes?
Well, we really need to work on defense and positioning, and we try to do that every practice, and it's getting better. It's getting better. So we're really we saw some progress last night in practice, even with a half a gym, and it's always a positive atmosphere out there. There's a lot of laughter going on a lot of high fives, a lot of camaraderie, and that environment in and of itself is really conducive to learning. So we just see a lot of progress. So,
well, we know that there are we know that there are three remaining home games, and Lauren and I are going to come out and check on your team's defensive progress.
But I actually just uploaded the schedule to the Fox on Sports Facebook page, so it is there.
Great.
Of the three, of the three remaining home games, is there one in particular that you would suggest fans coming to watch more than others?
You know, they're all awesome. It doesn't matter who we play. It doesn't matter what the score is out there. The atmosphere in that gym is electric. It really is. It's you know, whether you're at the score table, or you're a fan in the crowd, or if you're of my 28 partners, who half of them don't get in during a game, they're cheering as if they were, you know, they're going to get in any second. And it's just it doesn't matter what game you come to. It really is, just come, because you'll leave with a very, very positive feeling. It's magic to witness. It really is.
I'm super excited to see it. We're with Kathy Campbell Kelly, the unified basketball coach at Bedford High School, and it's impressive. You have more partners than you do players, and far more. And this is something for the partners where it's an optional activity, and for them it takes time and it takes patience and all of that sort of stuff. The more that Andrew and I wind up talking to high school kids, the more we realize that they're far more mature, deal with way more things than we ever dealt with, you know, when I was in high school 30 years ago, which kind of makes me sick to even think that it was that long ago. But they seem to be...
Don't even go there, Lauren.
I don't even want to think about it. I had the thought. I was like, all right, my 30th reunion is next year. But they're far more cerebral and thoughtful than I feel like we were back then. Do you find that to be the case with both the players and the partners on the team?
You know, we're so lucky here at Bedford High School. We have great kids, and if I tell this to everybody, those 26 kids plus, well, actually 28 because two managers also, that come out to support our athletes are kids that if I went around, I mean, most kids at this high school are that way anyways, but if I went around the school and had to pick 28 kids, those kids that are in my gym already are the kids that I would say, wow, you know, these guys are going to do great. And they, like you said, it's a voluntary thing, and it's something they choose to do. And it couldn't be more just, you know, a great, great thing to happen. You know, I get really teary eyed sometimes, and I get really choked up because it just, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It really is. It's nice to see. They are very mature.
It really is because they're giving themselves and the most valuable thing they have, which is their time. So we're going to bring you back to center, the yoga club. How many kids do you have in the yoga club? I'm more curious than anything else.
Okay, that's interesting. I have about the roster has been fluctuating. It's between 8 and 15 kids.
Okay.
And it's a club sport, so we have club time one day a week, so it's mostly girls, and if a guy would be smart if he joined that club, he'd be all set.
Uh-huh.
They're the nicest girls, you know, half of them are from my field hockey team, or have had wellness. They're just a bunch of really nice girls, and they come to the meeting, and then they decide, you know, where they're going to go do yoga that week sometime or a couple of times during the week. And we'll just do yoga for, it's only a 20-minute advisory time that we have. So they kind of mostly just plan what they're going to do for that week and which studio or venue that they're going to go visit that week. So
that's
really kind of fun.
It's kind of a nice perk of being in high school. You get to
For sure.
You get to once a week, find your center, become more limber. So, well, again, we appreciate the time. We know that we caught you in between periods today. So we really appreciate it. The next game is Monday the 27th at the high school at 3:15 p.m. So Mondays look good for me. I plan on being there. So, and I'm pointing at Andrew.
Yes.
You going to come?
I think I can make that.
All right. So
that's awesome. And the next, actually the next three games are home games. And then we go back out on the road, on February 13th, we're at Londonderry High School, and then we go to Nashua High School. So it's a quick season. We're done, like by the end of February. And, I just want to mention too, our whole team, Londonderry High School puts on a unified prom called the Snowball. And I just counted up the money for like 26 out of my whole 26 or 28 out of my whole team are going to be going to that. We went last year, and it was from 6 to 9 on the 28th of January. And and my whole team talk the DJ into staying till 10 o'clock because they're having so much fun.
That's awesome. Well, again, we appreciate it and look forward to catching the game, in a week and a half?
Right.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much. And come on out and see it.
Thanks.
Everybody.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you, Coach. Talk to you soon.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
Have a good night.
You
Bye-bye.
Too. That's always a good, fun interview. And we, obviously, I say always, this is year number two. But you and I weren't aware of the program last year. I think, I don't remember who it was. It might have been Corey said something to us, or one of the parents said something to us. And we basically got in on it after the season was over.
Right.
And so now I'm excited about it. It's, you know, I think it's really special. You have over two dozen kids that, again, you're in high school. I would have been at a basketball court shooting hoops or playing Pac-Man or doing something that had very limited value. And these kids are choosing to help make somebody else's day better.
Time is precious, and it's a wonderful sacrifice that they're making.
So anyway, the unified basketball coach, Kathy Campbell-Kelly, always a great guest on the show, and look forward to catching their game on the 27th at the Bedford High Gym at 3:15 p.m., or their next game, I should say. Hey, it's Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. You've been listening to some of our past highlights. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we hope you have a wonderful sports week.